Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by digital communications specialist at the University of Kansas Medical Center, Victoria Alvarez. Victoria and I talk about her shift in career interests, how she built her career after moving halfway across the country, and how she created meaningful and impactful relationships. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. So for the people scoring at home, here's a little fun fact to kick off this show. Victoria was actually my RA my freshman year in college. So welcome to my former and favorite RA. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you for having me. It's kind of a weird thing. I feel like I'm being taken back in time.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I imagine that a lot has changed since when you were my RA and to present day. I would also imagine that you are no longer an RA. So if that is the case, can you catch us up to what you've been up to and what you kind of do on a daily basis?
Oh, yeah, of course. So let's see. When I was an RA, that was my second year at Lynn. So a lot has happened since then because I would have been, I guess, around 20 at the time, and I'm 25 now. So a lot happens in 5 years, which is crazy to think it's been that long. But you know, I went on, I studied abroad after I was an RA. I graduated from, Lynn with my Bachelor of Arts in Multimedia Journalism. And then I actually stayed for grad school and I got my Master of Science degree in communications. And then after that, I actually got a job nearby at St. Andrew's School as a digital communications specialist. So I was in charge of the photography, social media, and I helped with all things regarding their website. And I was there for about 2 years. And then after that, I decided to move with my now fiance to Kansas City. And so I'm in Kansas City, Missouri now, where I work as a digital communications specialist at the University of Kansas Medical Center, which houses the schools of nursing, medicine, and health professions. So it's the only medical school, or the main medical school in all of Kansas. So that's pretty much, I guess, like the brief update on all things career and whatnot. But on a day-to-day basis, ever since the pandemic started, I have actually been working from home. So when the pandemic first started, I was still in Florida, started working from home, applied for jobs here, and immediately started working from home. And it's kind of been like that for the last, since March 2020. So pretty much whatever day from work from home day looks like, you know, wake up, Zoom calls, endless meetings. But that's pretty much the gist of it.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
So sticking with this time machine theme that you brought up, I like that. We came from the same school. You're a bit ahead of me, but coming from journalism also, you know, watching you work in the realm of journalism, you were very dedicated to the craft, let's say. And it looked from the outside that you were dead set on following down that journalism path. Was that something that you wanted to do? How much does your work today align with the things that you studied?
Yeah, I think when I first, you know, started college all bright-eyed at 17 years old, I imagined myself as like a journalist working for like the Washington Post, and I would, you know, write all these stories and all these things. But as you go through different courses and classes and you have different internships, you know, your gears tend to shift, your interests tend to change. So throughout, you know, my years in college, I was the editor-in-chief of iPulse, the school newspaper. And so I kind of like stuck with writing throughout the whole time. But while doing iPulse stuff, I also started to do like dip more into photography, social media, even videography at one point. And that's when I started like switching gears. I was like, okay, maybe I don't want to be a journalist. Maybe I want to kind of be with the times and start moving up with all the new digital things that are coming. And so I have a lot of that to thank for my internship with Athletic Communications at the time, which Ben, you know, I did a lot of sports photography.
Great pictures at the ball field. So very talented photographer, very talented behind the lens.
Thank you. So, you know, that really, like, I picked up a camera, I got really into it, you know, and I got really interested in kind of all things digital. So I knew I wanted to stay within, you know, the communications realm, but maybe not so much journalism. And that's kind of when I made the decision to go to grad school, because I did the 3.0 program. So when I got out of undergrad, I was like, I'm still 20. Like, I have tons of time to make this decision. So I'm like, just go to grad school, make these decisions, and kind of go from there. So that was a really good stepping point for me. There's a lot of things I was able to explore while there. I was a graduate assistant in the School of Communications while in grad school, and I was able to work a little bit more with social media and website stuff. So fast forward to today, and in terms of all digital things, I definitely learned a lot of the base and the foundation from Lynn, and I've just kind of built on it over the years in my career. But I run about right now 12 social media channels for the University of Kansas, and I do a lot of back-end website stuff, which includes writing, so I'm still writing to this day. Just the writing looks a little different, not as newsy, a little bit more web. But yeah, overall, definitely using a lot of the same skills.
So did you feel any pressure like at that kind of point when you graduated with your undergrad and you're like, all right, I'm still super young. What do I do? What was there kind of pressure with that? Or what was that whole, you know, time in your life like?
Yeah, I would definitely say I felt the pressure. I was worried that I was going to walk across stage and not have like a job waiting for me at the end of it. And that really scared me. So I was trying to be super proactive. And at the time, I had some connections at a sports channel down in Miami called BN Sports. And so just for the summer between, you know, undergrad and grad school, before I even knew if I got accepted to grad school, I was like, I'll work there. And so I worked there as a production assistant. And so that was, you know, more television, like a lot of digital things going on. And halfway through that job, I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, it's fun, but it's not for me. So I felt the pressure there too. And then kind of things just fall where they should. And that's when I got accepted to grad school and I got the GA position. And I was like, okay, I'll go this route. You know, obviously I pressured myself into something that isn't even really for me. Mm-hmm. So let me take a step back and like kind of find my footing in a way.
So what was that process like in a little bit more detail in terms of like, I don't know if I want to say like combating the pressure, but I guess dealing with the pressure and allowing like your life and your career to unfold, because like you're saying, you are only 20, you're 22, you're even still now where you're 5 years from when we first met, you're 25 only, you know? Yeah. And so like, you're still so incredibly young. How do you almost remain patient and allow things to fall into place like you were saying?
I think it's hard because at least our generation really grew up with like, you know, pressure to get the good grades on your report card and pressure to be in all these clubs. And, you know, you apply to multiple schools, most people like 3 to 5 and some even more. And there's just like this constant pressure going up that there's always this next thing. But there's the time in your life. And I think this really hit me when I was 20, where I was like, I really need to just look at the moment with all the pressure combined and be like, okay, where am I? What have I done? Like, what am I proud of? And what do I want to do next? And if I don't officially know what I want to do next, I need to really sit there and like make a game plan without pressuring myself. So I guess combating it was just kind of facing a little bit of the reality of my situation. Like, you don't have to have everything together right now. Like you just said, you're only 20. I was like, I've done a lot. I did a lot in college. I was someone that was super involved. I always had a job or an internship or club that I was a part of. So I had all these things to be proud of, but now, you know, what was my next step? So I guess just kind of taking a pause and really thinking about it before you just kind of jump into things all because of the pressure.
No, definitely. I think that's such an important point that you bring up. And I love that word proud, being prideful of the things that you've done. Cause I think it's so easy, like, especially in the time of you have big aspirations. That's important to have those big goals. But also, like you're saying, be proud of the things that you've accomplished, because it would be a terrible shame that if you wouldn't allow yourself to be happy and be proud of yourself until you got to whatever that finish line looked like. Cause like you said, there's always going to be more, you know, after that. So be proud, you know, along the journey with that. So I do have a question though. What was that game plan that you said, like it, when you run into that roadblock, wherever it is in your life, where you're like, hey, I don't know really what I want to do, what that next step looks like. How do you develop that game plan? What did that game plan look like for you?
In terms of game plan, I would say that this is really where Lynn has come through for me in lots of different situations, but in terms of planning, you know, out my future and what I want next, this definitely is where it stepped in. I went to the pros, you know, I went to my professors and I asked them like, listen, you guys have seen me since, you know, a senior in high school when I met you guys during, you know, my ASC trip. And now I'm, you know, 20 going on 21 and you've seen my growth. Like, what is your tips? What's your suggestions? Like, where do you see me grow in? Like, you've graded my papers and you've been there for all my big life moments, you know, the last 3 years, 4 years. So what should I do? And I think that was a really big thing, having those connections at Lynn and just kind of sitting down with people. So for me, that was mainly Professor or Dr. Stephanie Powers. And so I sat down with her, and she knew me better than anybody else, any other professor on campus. And we kind of just came up with, you know, what should I do? And that's kind of how I got to the step of, you know, maybe because I finished, you know, undergrad so early doing the 3.0 program, and because of the awesome opportunity to get my graduate degree in just 1 year, I should take that opportunity, use the year to gather more knowledge, to put more, you know, work under my belt and kind of set my footing and make these bigger decisions. You know, do I want to stay in Florida? Do I want to work in journalism? Like all these things that you might not think about when you're 20. So I just gave myself the year. So I stayed a student and I walked out with a degree. And then I was lucky enough to get the graduate assistant scholarship. And that's kind of when things started falling into place. But I would definitely say the biggest thing was reaching out to the people that know you best and the people that can offer the best insight.
No, definitely. And especially at a place like this, that was one of the biggest benefits I found. And when I was coming into school, I wasn't seeking out a small school. I was coming primarily to play baseball wherever I was going to go. And, you know, I'm so fortunate and grateful that it ended up being Lynn, just because it provided that small school feel where you could build those real meaningful relationships with your professors and, you know, somebody like Dr. Powers. Love saying that.
Much Me respect too.
To her getting her doctorate. So big shout out. You know, like, and all the people, Carlin, Phillips, everybody in that mm-hmm. department, you know, coming from that practical background, and they just care so much about your success. So absolutely using the resources, you know, around you is so, so important. Mm-hmm. Now, jumping forward a little bit, so you finish up your master's degree, and then you get into work at St. Andrews, correct? Yes. So at St. Andrews. So was this job something that you saw yourself in long-term? How did you view this first job coming out of school?
So I started looking for, you know, a full-time job, I would say a little over halfway through grad school, you know, like the winter had finished and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to graduate soon. Like it's that time again, you know? And so I started looking for jobs, and a lot of, you know, the people at Lynn, professors, students, other people that I worked with kind of knew that I was actively looking. And I, this is where connections and friends and good first impressions, all this stuff plays into how I got this job, which I think is really important. But it was well known that I was searching for a job post-grad, and someone that was working in the marketing department, he was a photographer at the time, Will Wayman, sent me an email and was like, hey, I just got wind of this job. It's not really posted anywhere online, but I think you'd be great. So I'm just, you know, sending it your way, you know, add it to your list. And so at first I was like, what is St. Andrews? I don't, you know, I'm not a parent. I don't know anything about
one or two.
Exactly. Like I had driven by it so many times, but it kind of looks like a neighborhood, not a school. So it's, or like a, I don't know, it's easy to pass. So I looked into it, and they pretty much had, in terms of skills and whatnot, it pretty much had everything I was currently doing as a GA and what I wanted to do. So I was like, okay, let me read through, you know, what the position is. And I was like, I have this skill set, and it seems like there's room for growth and room to, you know, really have some creative freedom, which was important to me. So I was like, you know, it won't hurt. And I applied for the job, and, you know, it worked out. I did end up getting the job, but not without a couple, you know, skips and jumps. Like I said, knowing people and making the connections are super important, but it even came to a point where, you know, I had people calling the people I was applying with and saying like, you know, you really need to hire her. She's great. And, you know, stuff like that. So when I started the job, I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to do it forever, but I thought it was a really great first job. It was entry level. And it was the right fit for me. It was still in the area, so I didn't really have to move or anything, but I knew it was a good stepping stone and I could be there, you know, at least 2 to 5 years.
And I think this is an interesting thing. When you go out for your first job after school, you know, a lot of them are entry levels, and I think there is this, you know, stigma around it, like, I don't want to do that. Like I'm almost above that. So how do you, I had this conversation in a past episode, and I'm just curious your perspective on it. You know, how do you kind of check like that ego of like, hey, you know, I'm above an entry level job to get the most out of it, to be able to learn and to grow. So how do you balance that like the ego with the need and the necessity to grow and build an opportunity for yourself?
I think knowing your worth is super important, but also being realistic about, you know, your resume and what you've been able to do. So realistically, I had internships and side jobs and I was super involved and I knew I was a catch, but this is my first full-time, my first full-time job. So let me be realistic about my expectations. They're not going to just hire me and say, here's a team of people that you're in charge of, even though you've had zero experience, you know, other than clubs doing so. I knew that wasn't going to happen. And I knew that I could just show what I was worth and things could go from there. But back to knowing your worth, I, you know, listened to the package that they offered me. I didn't just say yes blindly because I got offered a job. It was really good competitive pay, really good competitive benefits. And as far as an entry-level job goes, I kind of struck gold with it. So I was like, this is an opportunity, you know, for me to build on my skills. And maybe it's a good stepping stone, you know, maybe I work here for 2 years and then move on. But it was knowing your worth, but also humbling yourself at the same time. I think there's a happy medium right in between there.
Yeah, that's an important line to kind of walk and to balance, but take that to the bank. Know that you're a catch. I love that.
Yeah.
Very nice. So you finish up that job, mm-hmm. and then you've made this most recent move to Kansas City, Missouri, and yes. That's a long way from South Florida where you grew up and you lived, you went to school. So what was that move like emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually? How'd that all break down?
Oh my gosh. So
don't
get me started. So I think the move, you know, it wasn't like people dream to move to New York City or DC or California. It's not like I woke up and I was like, Kansas City, Missouri, like, you know, but it was my boyfriend at the time. We had been dating for almost 4 years, 3 years. And he was ready to move back home, and that's where he originally was from. And he is a nursing student, and he wanted to transfer back home for his last 2 years. And so he was getting really good offers and scholarships from the schools up here, and we just kind of mutually made this decision that I was at a good point in my old job, and I had worked there for 2 years, or almost 2 years, like a year and 11 months. And then it was time to kind of start fresh and put down our roots somewhere because we knew, you know, I had so much fun in Boca and Delray, but that was like my college experience and I was kind of ready to move on. And I didn't see myself moving back home to South Florida and Pembroke Pines. So it felt like the right next step, but man, was moving difficult. I immediately started applying for jobs in January, 2020. I was like, I will finish out the school year with St. Andrews and then move in like May or June. But as everybody knows, a very specific large event hit in March 2020, right. And it just kind of imploded.
That shall not be named.
Yes, it was just such a nightmare in more ways than one. So I immediately started working from home. I knew I had to keep applying to jobs, but you are already facing a level of difficulty applying to jobs out of state the minute they realize you don't currently live there. So that off the bat is like, you know, some people just want to hire out like from someone in the area. So I was already facing that from the get-go, but now I'm facing a pandemic with no end in sight and people are downsizing, sending people home. And I think I learned a lot here. This was probably some of the biggest lessons I learned post-grad. I applied to like 30 something jobs, maybe more. And talk about not even hearing from a person, like just automated bot messages, like, thanks for your application, but we've decided to choose somebody else. And those really hurt your feelings, but it was a really big like hit to, you know, all the work that I've been doing. I was like, I know I'm a catch and I'm worth it, but no one's even bothering to look at my resume, which I know is strong. And, you know, how do I set myself apart? So, you know, I remember saying this at the time. I was like, you know what, there's all these doors are closing, but there's something at the end of this. So I'll just keep applying. And so I applied to a job literally on my couch while quarantining, tears running through my eyes. And I was like, they're never going to hire me anyways. Like, I'll just try. That's the job that I have now. So you just never know.
Right. What do you know? Now, this is, you know, heavily, obviously, being a medical center in the healthcare industry. Was that something that you ever saw yourself getting into?
Particularly not, but I think this is a really good segue into that because it's a medical center, but it's at a teaching hospital. So we have the University of Kansas Health System and Hospital, and then attached to it is the University of Kansas where the School of Nursing, Health Professions, and Medicine are. So I get the fun thing of working on the university side, whereas the hospital and healthcare side kind of have their own marketing team, but it's fun because there's a lot of blurred lines there. You know, our medical students are residents, so they technically work for the hospital, but they're still students at the School of Medicine. So there's a lot of blurred, you know, lines or connections between the two, but I definitely saw myself working in a university aspect after doing K through 12 and being at Lynn for so long. I know I like universities, but it's definitely different. It's not the same university where, you know, there's dorms on campus. It's not like that. So I don't think I saw it happening, but I knew that the University of Kansas was a huge, huge deal in this area. And I knew I would kind of be remiss to not take the opportunity.
And this is the such cool thing that I'm such a big believer in, is that, I mean, especially in the world of communications, digital media, all those things, you can apply it to so many different fields and combine things that you've learned, you know, the work behind the camera, the work with the social media, into something that you may be passionate about. If it was, you know, the medical side of things, but, you know, for you, the education side mm-hmm. of things, and that goes across for all businesses and all majors and all studies, is you have this idea of journalism, this idea of multimedia, and there's not just one path. There's so many different branches, you know, that you can go throughout it. And so with that kind of in mind, has there been anything that you noticed that you picked up in this environment because it is, you know, within education and does have that medical component to it that you don't think you might have gotten somewhere else?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to do with it. Usually when I tell people that, you know, part of my job is social media, they're like, oh my gosh, that must be so fun or so easy. And it's like, it's a little different. This isn't, you know, like I don't get to go on my phone and just like post from Instagram all the time. It's not, I think it's me. It's not the kind of social media. I mean, obviously some of the skills just came from growing up in an age where we had Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, but learning the back end of it is not something the average person doesn't know anything about click-through rates and ads and all the different rules you have to follow and things like that. So I think I picked that up along the way without even taking like, you know, a specific course or having a degree in social media. That's just a skill that I've built. And now it's the main part of my job, but definitely website editing. You know, I was trained in journalism and journalism writing. And I know I had a few courses here and there that were about feature writing and, you know, working on a website, but that is something that I definitely just grew through my two jobs, is just, you know, what to do and coding even here and there. Basic coding is all the kind of stuff I've just picked up through jobs, which is awesome because that just means I'm constantly building my resume for my next steps.
Absolutely. So being only 25 years old, before we wrap up, have you thought about, and it's okay if you haven't, this is not putting you on the spot, but have you thought about what you want to do, you know, in the future? What's the big goal? What are you working towards?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think about this all the time. And as a millennial, I know we're always like, I don't know if I want to do 9 to 5 forever. And definitely after the pandemic, you're like, okay, I work from home. I'm comfortable with this. And I've been going back into the office here and there, but I definitely see a shift in my mindset. But one thing that's always been a constant, even from the time I was about like a freshman or sophomore in college to now, is that I would really love to be a university professor in the future. People like, you know, Professor Carlin and Dr. Powers and Professor Phillips, all of them have worked in the industry and took what they know and then apply it in the classroom to, you know, teach future generations. And I think that's awesome. So I'm just trying to gather as much knowledge as I can now. That way, when I'm older, I can kind of teach at a local university or somewhere or other and kind of give back. That's definitely my end goal.
So we're going to start distributing this to the elementary schools across the nation to, to plant the seeds early on. So when they get to college, they could sign up for Professor Alvarez's class. So
yes, exactly.
I can definitely see that. That's really cool. So we are at that point of the show where we're wrapping things up and it's time to cash out. So this is where you leave the folks at home with your most valuable piece of advice, biggest lesson that you learned, to leave them with a little extra money for the road. So what do you have for us today?
So I'm going to cash out with make those connections. As a college student, I know that we hear that all the time, make a good first impression, make the connections, but I would not be where I am today. I would not have had half the opportunities or more than half the opportunities I had without the connections I made at Lynn, through internships outside of Lynn, through jobs. I've been able to make connections with these people and friendships, long lasting ones, where they, you know, people from my old job still check in on me. How are you? How's Missouri? I've got professors that I still talk to on the daily on Facebook and through the phone. So make these connections. You know, it's not just for jobs in the future, but you just never know what can come of it. This could be a business partner. This could be someone that applies for a job that you're hiring in the future. You could end up applying for a job that they're hiring for. So I think my biggest takeaway through all of it was make those connections, make sure they last, and just have a good time doing it.
Beautiful. I love that. Victoria, you've come such a long way from 5 years ago when you're my RA, and I know you're going to continue on that path, and I'm excited to see what's coming for the next 5 years and beyond. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. I was happy to be here.